I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's the butterfly effect for real.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick 6 Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Friday, May 22nd. Reopening is beginning, and you're going to be getting out, maybe going to the gym sometime soon, certainly going for walks. Make sure and download, subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. I don't know what that middle word was, Ryan. If you download and subscribe, you'll get these podcasts dropped in your little podcast app every single morning. We are daily, even when there's no NFL news going on. Monday, we'll have a mailbag Monday, and we'll be pulling our questions for the mailbag. You can ask us anything from five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. So go and leave a five-star review. Ask us something. Coming up on today's pod, we will talk. There is some NFL news to discuss. And we'll talk some rules proposals. Dak Prescott, he's back in the news again, the ever controversial Dak Prescott. And we'll get to Sean Wagner McGuff's top 25 players under 25. It's easily the most important list that has appeared on CBSSports.com this week. By the way, if you're jonesing for live sports, go check out the First Cut Pod. It's a golf podcast hosted by Rick Gelman and Kyle Porter. Mark Immelman, and I'm on it. We did a synergy mesh thing where I talked about Tom Brady and Peyton Manning playing golf with Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson, which is coming up on Sunday. So check out the First Cut Pod, great golf podcast. All right, Super Friends time. Got a bunch of them, a cavalcade of them. Ryan Wilson, Sean Wagner McGuff, John Breach. What's up, fellas?
Good morrow to you, sir. Is that what the kids say now?
You nailed it.
Thank you.
Wilson, the kids have never said that. Let's be honest here, man.
And what? Breach would know because he has a kid now.
He does have a kid. How's 6 week mark going for you, John Breach?
They say gack gack, goo goo, and then they poo and they pee, and that's it. That's literally it. And they eat sometimes.
Yeah.
Sounds sleep like for a lot 2 hours. My day.
Yeah, that's Sean's day. Sleep for 2 hours, poop in his pants, mumble some words, start over. The only difference is Sean doesn't change his diaper. He just put it in there.
Just rolls.
For whatever reason, Brinson records my mumblings and puts them on the podcast.
Just rolls around in his own poo is what you're saying.
Do you think Sean never shut up talking when he was little too? Like his parents like, Sean, quit talking. You can't stop.
I bet you had a ton of annoying questions.
Actually, this will actually be more funny to you guys. I could not like speak English for the longest time. I had my own language. And only my older sister could understand my language. And so before I went to pre-K.
Oh my God. I thought you were going to say high school.
No, I was like two or three.
What sort of language was it like? Is it something you made up or is it just like you just didn't know how to talk?
I just made up my own language and was just talking that instead of English.
So is this a humble brag? Like I'm smart enough to create my own language? Or
no,
like,
because I make fun of my dad will say that he needed to ask my sister Jana what I was saying, but there were only like four words in the language. I mean, I was tiny, but for whatever reason, he could not crack the code.
Well, you've expanded your vocabulary.
So you are basically that one sister from Wedding Crashers. You know, the one that married Vince Vaughn.
Does she have her own language?
Yeah, she was talking to like John, her dad, or who plays the dad?
It's Christopher Walken.
Yeah. She's like, me, me, moo, moo, moo. What you guys was don't remember that?
Yeah, I do. What was she in? Oh, she. You know what I was watching recently? That she was. She's in the new season, the newer seasons of Arrested Development. As
is she?
Yeah, she plays. She dates George Michael and Michael. By the way, season four, I went back and rewatched it because Arrested Development might be my favorite show of all time. Seasons one through three are like perfect. The first two seasons are just incredible. Four is actually better on a rewatch than I thought the first time. I was surprised.
Yeah, that's 15 years ago. I can't remember hardly anything about that show. I like it.
You need to go back and rewatch it. It is funny as hell.
No, you could talk me into that very easily. Yeah, I see it on the Netflix watch list.
Go back and watch one through three. I mean, it is like, it is just hot. What's crazy is that like, it's, you know, we sort of talk about like, what if Dan Marino played in the 2000s? You know, like he would be.
What if Arrested Development came out now?
Yeah, like it would be, it was canceled. Fox straight up canceled it. And like, they were talking about it in the middle of the third season because they were like, at one point they're like, yeah, we need to have a party to save our blues. They're like, can we bring in the Home Builders Organization? They're like, nope, HBO won't have us. It's like, well, I guess it's showtime. It's like, nope. And then they like start begging. They're like, please go eat at Burger King. We need your money. Like they're flaunting the fact that Fox is about to cancel the show, and Fox did it. And like, I think that if it was on now, it would go, cause like a show like Parks and Rec or Community or like The Good Place, they're given like runway to kind of expand and to grow more popular.
They had their own issues.
I think there's a lot of shows that would, if they came out today, not just Arrested Development, like Friday Night Lights famously got canceled.
Yeah. Season.
No one watched it, and then they had to launch a campaign to save it. Or like Firefly, even I think would do a lot better if it was released on Netflix.
I've never seen Firefly.
Joss Whedon, sort of sci-fi. Like I watched a few episodes recently with my 13-year-old, and they're still good, but you have to understand that it's from that. I think that show started in 2000, 2001, so the special effects aren't exactly where they are now.
So just to pull back the curtain on this particular podcast, I'm enjoying it. I'm watching. I can see Debo right now. He is driving to Pennsylvania. Hopefully you'll be there by the time this podcast drops, right? But I find it amusing that like Debo's sitting here, like he like is stuck in this car and we're just like 40 seconds in to this podcast, like we're just on an Arrested Development tangent that like has nothing to do.
Is he able to Slack you or he can't do that?
Has to, you know, cause he's on Zoom. So I think he has to switch out. He's on his phone. So it's like, it would be a real pain. He could do it, but, I think it would be a hassle.
Oh, look at that. He can text us from his phone right to the Zoom app. I'm reading it. Look at that. Technology is amazing.
Yeah, that's right, Ryan. It is truly incredible that they have a chat feature on this video application.
Yeah. No other video application.
I mean, certainly there are no other options for chatting on the internet.
That's what I'm saying. All right, let's go.
Speaking of chatting on the internet, I was chatting on the interwebs with various people about Dak Prescott. And Ryan, you won't believe this. There doesn't seem to be a consensus on Dak Prescott.
All right, well, I don't think
Dak Prescott the new Andy Dalton, which is ironic.
No! One
of them is actually really good.
Yeah, no, Andy Dalton, what are you talking about? Andy Dalton is just like, it's not like, should you give Andy Dalton $50 million? It's like, is Andy Dalton good? That was the question. Dak Prescott.
No, I'm saying in the sense, he's the one guy, one quarterback right now, if you say his name, you can automatically, without offering anything else, just say his name, and it will start a debate with people going on both sides without knowing
what side. The only people going on the side of Andy Dalton are Bengals fans. No one, I mean, who outside of Cincinnati is like, oh, Andy Dalton, we would love to have him on our team. Sean was like, yeah, maybe in Chicago, but that wasn't his first choice.
So, Breach, do you – Breach,
Dalton's trending on Twitter right now.
Because he's Dak's backup, you dummy. So, Breach, I think – you know what, Breach? I think you have a – I don't know what the scientific diagnosis is for it, but whatever it is that causes you to remember – things being much better than they actually were, like your marathon times, your ability to throw a football, like Andy Dalton's like, it's like Andy Dalton, it's like, is he, I don't know, maybe he's the 15th best quarterback. I don't know, Jimmy, might be 16.
Wait. The argument with Dalton is franchise line. So that was the debate. But with Dak, is it, is he worth $35 million a year? It's not the same debate. It's just that.
Yeah, that's the point.
It's you not, can say, but you can say his name, just his name, and it will start a debate.
I think Carson Wentz is a better example, but whatever.
Well, I mean, using Breach's logic, Mitch Trubisky, that will start a debate.
No, because we all agree that he's terrible. There's no debate.
Did somebody retweeted Lewis Riddick of ESPN, a tweet from him from last year? It's like, let me see if I can find it.
By the way, real quick, there are actually a couple of Mitch Trubisky truthers because I did my backup quarterback power rankings last week, and I picked Trubisky as a backup and not Foles, and I explained why. And someone came after me and was like, haha, you ranked a starting quarterback 10th. Like, what an idiot. He went to the Pro Bowl the year before.
All right, so here it was. I think Lewis Riddick's good at his job, so I'm not making fun of Lou Riddick. But I mean, like, somebody retweeted this, it showed me my timeline, and I'm sorry, I'm gonna read it. This is from, July 29th, 2019, so less than a year old. For all that are disrespecting my guy, Maserati Mitch, I wouldn't do that if I were you. You will look foolish when this year is over. Hashtag NFL, hashtag bear emoji, down emoji. Maserati Mitch.
Bear down. Oh,
more like Mitsubishi Mitch.
Oh.
Am I
that's
right?
That's so kind.
Mazda
Mitch. Minivan Mitch.
Minivan Mitch.
Yeah, that's better. Because I was going to say Mazdas and even Mitsubishis, they make some.
And again, look, like we told you to bet on Mitch Trubisky to win the MVP. So I mean, like we're not dogging Lou Riddick here. Like, you know. Anyway, Dak Prescott, there's a report out there. Now, Ian Rappaport has come through and apparently thrown some cold water on it, I guess. But the report out there is that the Cowboys offered Dak Prescott a 5-year, $175 million contract, and that Dak turned it down, and he won. This is from Chris Sims of NBC Sports, former NFL quarterback, obviously, who's been hot in terms of rumor mill. He had the Russell Wilson was almost traded in 2018 rumor.
He held on for it for 2 years. That's a fun story to hold on to.
Okay. He heard the story, didn't follow up, and then just talked about it a couple weeks ago.
Okay. All right. No need to crap on Chris Sims.
That's what he said.
He mentioned it previously, he said. And just didn't get any buzz. He mentioned it like during the season.
You say that, it doesn't get any buzz. That means you said it to yourself.
Okay. That's all fair points. At any rate, he has said that, Dak got that offer from the Cowboys and turned it down. And
what was the terms again?
5 years, $175 million. Now, this is where it's very important to note that is a very vague way of describing that particular contract. That does not mean $175 million fully guaranteed. And it's $35 million a year, which, you know, would be the top of the market. But it doesn't blow the market out of the water and likely will be, basically equals what Russell Wilson makes. So Breach, were you surprised? Do you believe that Dak turned it down almost $45 million? Are you surprised by it? And, do you think this is a controversial situation?
Yeah. Well, I think the two things were kind of tied together. I think the 5 years, 175 was that he wanted, according to Chris Sims, $45 million in the final season of the deal. So, basically, you have a 4-year, $130 million deal, which is 32.5 per year. Then if you add that $45 million fifth year, all of a sudden it shoots up to, so anyway, the most shocking thing to me is if he was asking for $45 million in that fifth year, we don't know if that's the case. If it is 5 years, 175, I sign the deal if I'm Dak. And here is my one thing. And this is why I think Dak Prescott's taking a huge risk right now. Everybody's, you know, a lot of people are saying, go the Kirk Cousins route. It's not a big deal. If you don't get the money you want, then you just get franchise tag. You keep getting franchise tag. You'll eventually hit the free agent market. You'll cash in. But let's just say there's no fans at NFL games this year. All right. That's a very real possibility. Maybe there's only half the fans. The Dolphins are saying we might only let 15,000 people in the stadium. So you lose that. If that happens, NFL revenues go down. The salary cap goes down. And if that happens, there is 0% chance Dak Prescott's getting $35 million. So if they have a no-fan season, he's not getting $35 million per year next year if that's when the contract negotiation comes. So, like, this year is the – you know, he can't play 2020 on the franchise tag and expect to get a huge deal in 2021 if the salary cap goes down. And Brinson's making this face, but teams aren't going to give him.
I'm making the same face. You're not making any sense.
Yeah, I don't agree with that for a couple of reasons. One, if he plays on the franchise tag this year, it doesn't matter what the salary cap does, because by rule in the CBA, he's going to get a 20% raise if they tag him again next year, which means
fire up the music.
Okay, and that's 1 year. And then after that, what?
If Dak Prescott becomes an unrestricted free agent at the age of 28,
and the salary cap's $175 million,
that's not going to happen.
Are you kidding me? Yes, it could happen. It could absolutely happen.
Why would that?
Anything?
It is not.
Because the salary cap's $200 million. If there's not fans, revenues could drop $5 billion.
If there are no fans in the stands, $5.5 billion is the estimate.
Okay, and if there's half the fans in the stands, say it drops $2 or $3 billion, you're still looking at a considerable drop in the salary cap.
This affects a lot of other people too, by the way. All the franchise quarterbacks coming out. Is Dak going to be the only one affected? Because I would imagine that he is not taking a pay cut if he signs a franchise tender or if he signs for $35 million.
I am saying Dak would be one of the primary people. Everybody else, but nobody else is in the Dak market. So he would be more affected than others.
But your presumption, just wait until after 2021 and go to free agency. Especially when Tom Brady probably retires, Philip Rivers probably retires, Ben Roethlisberger could retire, Andy Dalton might retire.
This is the guy that's so high on Andy Dalton that it doesn't make sense, but he thinks Dak Prescott should take a $22 million a year deal.
No, I didn't say that. I said this 5-year 175 is good. I said he's taking a risk by not getting
a deal
right now. That's what I said. I didn't say he should take 22 million. Ryan, you're being insane.
All right. Now, on that same logic, it's like if CBS came to Breach and offered you a 3-year contract with very minimal raises right now, you could say no thanks because I think I'm worth more, but you would also be risking it because it's a pandemic, right?
If we're in a market where 40 million people have lost their job and CBS offers me a multi-year contract with guaranteed money, I'm absolutely going to take it.
No matter what the raise is, right? Basically.
Yes.
I disagree.
And immediate people are losing their job left and right. Yes, I'm absolutely taking it.
Sorry, go ahead, Ryan.
The difference is this. Breach understands that he's not Dak Prescott in the sports media market.
Yeah, he's Andy Dalton.
But the problem is...
What a big jam! Wallace took it in his hands and said, up and away! Dipsy-doo, Dunkaroo!
I love that.
That was meant as someone...
We need someone else controlling the dunk.
I know. So I was going to say, you can cue it up again, because the problem is not that the Breach understands that he's Andy Dalton in the sports media market. It's that... Will Brinson thinks he's Dak Prescott in the sports media market.
What a big jam!
There it is. That's what I was waiting for.
The other big difference too is that Dak is Dak's single. He's not married. He's not married. Doesn't have a family. And he has tons of endorsement money coming in. If I'm Dak Prescott, I am more than willing to gamble with the economics of the quarterback market. Because the other thing too is that if you're Dak and you take a deal like that from the Cowboys, first of all, again, it's not like it really matters because these quarterback contracts usually get fully paid out. But if you take $35 million a year from the Cowboys on that $175 million deal, the last 3 years are probably dummy years. You know? So why would you even sign, if you already have two tags that you're gonna play, why would you just tack on a 3-year dummy deal on the back end? You're gonna get $70 million guaranteed. And furthermore, Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes are gonna get paid too. And they're gonna reset the market and they're gonna push it north of $40 million by the time that it's all said and done. So if you're Dak,
they will be unaffected by any drops in the
right
market.
Do you think Patrick Mahomes is like, you're right, Andy. Sorry, I gotta take $33 million. My bad.
Are you saying Dak Prescott's as good as Patrick Mahomes?
No, but he's the latest quarterback due a lot of money, and that's just how it works.
Don't be a Twitter troll. You know that's not how it works. Everybody.
Let me ask you this. No, I'm not even because you are completely ignoring everything I've said.
You sound like Dov Kleiman, who I've been arguing with on Twitter. He's like,
if Patrick Mahomes signs a contract worth $40 million a year this offseason.
Guess what?
And the salary cap goes down in 2021. Dak Prescott's not getting $40 million per year. That's
just the points out, he gets a 20% raise over the salary cap.
Yeah, and that's still not 40 million. It's 37.7 million, Wilson.
On a 1-year deal.
Boom.
On a 1-year deal. Do you think he's then gonna, if we get to a point where Dak has signed his 2021 franchise tag, he is not taking $35 million a year. Cause if Dak Prescott gets in the open market, he is going to get a fully guaranteed 3-year, $120 million deal.
And one thing I will touch on, Brent, that you said, that if that report about the $45 million in the fifth year is true, it's basically what you just said. That doesn't really matter because generally, if you're a good quarterback, you don't get to the fifth year. You've already signed a new extension before you get there.
Yeah.
So it's almost irrelevant, that part of the report.
By the way, I think more pressure is on Jerry Jones than is on Dak Prescott.
I think Dak has all the leverage here, yeah, and the Cowboys have none of it whatsoever, because if he doesn't get the deal he wants, he's going to go the franchise tag route and say, look, I'm still going to get paid either way. And you can also look at what the Cowboys did this offseason and say the Cowboys should get him under contract now, because there's a chance he's even better in the next 2 years, considering how this offseason just unfolded for them.
I looked it up. Since 2015, there have been, six players who have done it, because Matt Ryan and Drew Brees have done it twice, but have completed more than 65% of their passes, thrown for 30 passing touchdowns or more, less than 15 interceptions, and more than 4,500 passing yards. Dak did it last year. He was the only quarterback in the NFL to do it last year. Andrew Luck and Patrick Mahomes and Matt Ryan in 2018, Tom Brady in 2017, Drew Brees and Matt Ryan in 2016, and Drew Brees in 2015. Like, Dak's, if not for Lamar Jackson, we are talking about Dak's season very, very differently. Like, he had an awesome season. I mean, the Cowboys should have been a 10-win team, but Jason Garrett stinks.
So why is he controversial again?
He's not to me. Like, I think you pay him, and I think it's an easy solution. But the Cowboys don't seem inclined. He's controversial because every time,
yelled at me and Debo about him. We said he wasn't controversial.
He is trending on Twitter because people are screaming about whether or not to pay him.
Well, they're screaming in response to the report about the contract that he may or may not have taken. By the way, your buddy, Bill Barnwell pointed this out on Twitter, and it's worth remembering. If you see contract terms and the quarterback turned it down, they're released by the team and should probably take it with a grain of salt. Just keep that in mind. But I think to Sean's point about Jerry Jones not having any leverage, the only leverage Jerry Jones does have, even though age isn't on his side and he says he wants to win a Super Bowl before he dies, is that he has the power of the Cowboys PR machine, and you know, they can put pressure on Dak that way. We'll see if Dak cares or not, because, you know, clearly, some people don't like to be to have people come at them on Twitter. When you don't put Minkah Fitzpatrick in your top 100, maybe Dak feels differently. I don't know if he's on Twitter or not. But the only leverage I think that Jerry Jones has.
But I also do think that the reason we didn't talk about Dak till late in the season is because he really didn't show up in big games. Like, you look at what he did in 2019. Their first big game was against the Saints. No touchdowns, one interception. They lost 12-10. They lost to the Packers. They lost to the Patriots. They lost to the Bills. They lost to the Bears. Like, every time they needed a big win, Dak had a bad game.
Well, okay, that seems a little.
You can look at it, man. There's no.
I mean, but like, okay. First of all,
this is the Andy Dalton apologist telling this story. By the way,
I mean, it's just,
this is the truth. I think Dak Prescott's a good quarterback. I think he's worth $35 million per year, but that doesn't mean that. I think he's on Patrick Mahomes level.
Breeze, let me ask you this: what's the Cowboys ceiling with Dak Prescott compared to Andy Dalton?
It's Dak closer Prescott than people think.
Nine wins with Dalton, 12 or 13 with Dak.
Oh, look at this guy.
Okay.
All right.
Look at this guy trying to keep it real.
The games that you're pointing out, though, they went to New Orleans and they lost 10-12. Like, I'm not. Dak wasn't outstanding, but the Saints defense is very good. They played Green Bay on that Sunday night in Dallas. I remember Green Bay came in and lit up the defense early on, and Dak was forced to throw 44 times. He still had, so this is his bad game. 62% completion, 463 yards, 2 touchdowns, 3 picks. I mean, like, that's...
Yeah, 3 picks is a bad game, Brinson.
I mean...
I don't know how you're going to try and spin that as a good game.
Have you seen Ryan Finley play?
Dump music, please.
I mean, they're playing from behind the whole time. Like, he was having to throw. Like, I mean, put a little context on it, Breach. And then at New England, get the F out of here. It was a freaking, like, fog bowl. You couldn't see anything. And Kellen Moore's over there calling like reverse pitches in the, like down in the red zone. I mean, like this is, it's just, it's a blanket statement that you're using to try and discredit Dak Prescott, when in reality, the extenuating circumstances surrounding those three games do not lead me to believe that Dak can't win in big games. You are a Twitter troll today.
What? I mean, hey, the Bills game too, man. The next week, that was at home. Thanksgiving. They could have used a win there.
Dak is 40 and 24 as a quarterback. He's probably won a fair amount of big games.
Wait, against the Bills, he completed 65% of his passes for 355 yards, two touchdowns, and a pick. Like, that's not, what are you putting this on Dak? The defense gave up.
Scored 15 points, Princeton.
The defense, because Jason Garrett's terrible at his job. The defense gave up 26 points to Josh Allen.
I know what this is. I know what this is. And you pointed to this a month ago, Brinson. He is on the Cowboys payroll. Jerry Jones has instructed him to make these comments.
Breach bot.
Here we are. Breach bot 3000.
Breach bot. I am a robot sent from Cincinnati to tell you that the Cowboys are amazing.
Yeah, he is a, he's like the political version of a Russian mole.
But what's weird is that Breach, and by the way, I have decided as of last week, I'm making it official. I'm picking the Dallas Cowboys to win the Super Bowl, and I'm going to make a big deal out of it for the rest of the offseason.
I just want to note that I appreciate you pressuring us into coming up with our Super Bowl picks for the last Pick Six podcast TV show, and now you've gone and done a 180 on the team.
And
I picked the Cowboys to win the Super Bowl. I'm expecting Dak to be on the field. I need him to be on the field.
That's sort of my thing. Like, why wouldn't you be like, pay Dak. Or is it, you're like, wait, Dak needs to take this money and get out there because you're worried that he's going to hold out and your Cowboys pick is going to look horrendous of Andy Dalton.
It's an Andy Dalton fever dream. He thinks Andy Dalton's going to finally win a Super Bowl in Dallas. This is exactly what he wants to happen.
Breach will 100% call Andy Dalton a Super Bowl champion if he wins as a backup, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just wait until the guy just has to win one playoff game for Breach to say Andy Dalton's career is validated.
Or it would be ironic if Dalton won that playoff game with the Cowboys.
Wouldn't be ironic. It would just be unlikely.
Some might say.
I don't even know why you guys, like, I am not saying anything. All I'm saying is if the salary cap goes down, that Dak is going to have trouble getting whatever you guys think he's going to get. That's it. If nothing happens, if there's fans in the stands, then Dak's making a brilliant move. He shouldn't sign a contract, and he should get as much money as possible. But just because of the mystery, because of circumstance right now, and you don't know that there's going to be, I'm just saying it's high risk.
I have carried your message to the masses, Jerry. Here it goes. The salary cap might go down. That's why you can't pay Dak. It's unreasonable and insane.
Reaches 10 minutes away from having a Wilson-like meltdown. I don't need this ish. He slams his headset down, just storms off.
All right.
I'm here for it.
Breach, before we get to Sean's list, before we take a break, why don't you, what's the rundown on the onside? We got a developing onside kick / special team situation.
Oh my goodness. We get to talk about something I enjoy and I have to fight with you guys about. The onside kick alternative. They tried to pass it last year, but it got voted down by the owners. JLC, Jason Lockenfora, is saying the owners actually like it this year, got the buzz that it might pass. And basically the rule is if a team doesn't want to kick an onside kick, they will have the opportunity to try a 4th and 15 play from their own 25-yard line. And basically if you get it, you get the first down, you keep the ball. If you don't get it, the other team gets the ball and takes over. And so that's what you could do in 7 onside kick, and teams will be allowed to do that up to 2 times per game. So that is a pretty major rule change that could be happening.
I like it.
I like it. I think it favors smart teams, and you know, a lot of teams are going to this analytical stuff. This is basically game theory, so I think smart teams are probably for it. I do wonder which owners decided to change their minds or whatever, but yeah, why not? Are you at all concerned, Breach, that it does away with the kicker position?
Ooh.
No. No, this is, I love this rule. This is anything to spice up the game. This is good. And you know what? Like, the onside kick already got basically neutered when they changed the kickoff rule a couple years ago, because teams can't get a running start now. And so onside kick recovery percentages went from 21% in 2017 down to like 6% in 2018. And then last year they were 12%, but that's only because Young Hoku basically was the onside master. So I had to do something, because there was no way to come back if you were down by 3 touchdowns and not in the fourth quarter. Not that that's common, but you want to at least feel like you have a chance.
I have a bird who lives in my backyard that has a it's a robin with a mohawk that wants to kill me, and he is now He's lighted. He's tried to attack me several times. He has lighted on my neighbor's roof and he is staring into my office directly at me. It's very creepy. Seems sort of stupid to say, but I kind of think it's sort of interesting. Like, if playing Madden with this new rule, any comeback is on the table with that new rule. I think it's kind of remarkable. I think a 4th and 15, is it 4th and 15, right? From your own 25? Yeah. I mean, 4th and 15 obviously in real life is like a lot harder to pull off, but I mean, it's just a 15 yard chunk play. How do you think, the one thing I would be concerned about with this too is, pass interference. Like, I think that could get a little dicey with, you know, quarterbacks chunking it up there.
I mean, illegal contact's an automatic first down.
Yeah.
Holding, defensive holding.
Right.
Do it.
Right. Like, I mean, do the regular penalties still apply? I mean, like, that would suck if you got a BS. Yeah.
It's going to be roughing the passer. It's going to come up in like a big moment where it's after the pass falls incomplete and then the late flag comes in for someone driving a quarterback into the ground.
The other thing they're talking about doing, is getting those sky judges in place. If they're going to do this 4th and 15 thing, they need the sky judges. Like, you need the sky judges anyway. And basically the sky judge would make it more like college football where you can, sort of swoop in, hit a buzzer, say, hold on, we're going to check out this play and make sure everything got it right. The NFL desperately needs that. I don't know what is taking so long to implement it.
I can still see things going wrong even if they do implement it. I don't know if you guys watched that XFL game where they have like the sky judge and they completely botch the heading and let like 5 seconds right off.
Yes.
And they just didn't buzz down.
But the nice thing is that like you at least like, you're listening to the process. Like you at least, like I'd rather know that the people doing something are stupid rather than think that they're corrupt. Does that mean, is that like I prefer the knowledge that people operating, something of great importance are idiots and morons rather than, believing some shadow conspiracy that, you know, that everybody's corrupt and, trying to pull something off. I'm talking about football, of course.
I was going to say, Brinson, you believe every shadow conspiracy on the internet.
I love conspiracies.
I know you do.
Do you?
Do I?
Yeah, nearly the biggest conspiracy theorist I know at CBS Sports.
Who's bigger?
I don't want to name names.
Somebody whose new nickname is Pumpkin Patch?
No, I don't think Prisco's a conspiracy theorist.
Oh, Prisco's a conspiracy theorist. I can't even tell you his. You know what? We don't even need to get into it. I have some text threads with conspiracy theories from Pete Prisco.
All right.
Who's the biggest conspiracy theorist?
Unlike you, I'm not going to start outing people without their consent.
It's not like you're calling them a racist. You're just calling them a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah, I kind of want to know.
Well,
just type it. Say who it is.
DM me.
Now you got a conspiracy about conspiracy theories.
Why do you think this is going to like out someone or like?
Because maybe they're not.
There's nothing inherently wrong with.
All right, let's go. This is not compelling.
Just say a name and move on.
Brinson. All right, let's go. It's not you. Don't worry about it.
I know you told me it wasn't me, so I want to know who the other one is.
Well, you're gonna have to wait. It's something you're not accustomed to doing.
All right. Debo's worried he's going to get North Carolina before the podcast ends. So I guess we'll move on. Ryan.
Drive by shooting at your house while you're still talking on the stupid podcast.
Seems inappropriate. also, it's
still the bird.
Yeah, maybe we'll hit the robin. Who knows?
I'm going to get that robin. I don't know how.
Rockin' Robin. Tweet.
Like, I'll be out there mowing and he'll come flying by and like buzz my head. Like, it's terrifying.
He thinks that's a nest. That's a problem.
Is anyone surprised that birds hate Brinson?
No.
All right, coming up after the break, Sean's list of top 25 players under the age of 25. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers,
I used to go as a kid. I wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Tailored Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Tailored Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Tailored Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Tailored Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Tailored Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Tailored Brands.
Sean puts this list together every year. For whatever reason, usually it's not the same week as Pete Prisco's Top 100, but this week it was. And
great timing on Sean's part.
Well, no, Pete did his list. He's like, I will do my list early. I am taking 7 weeks of vacation this year. No one can stop me. Watch. You will see. That's how he texts.
I'm pretty sure he does his before mine, though, usually, because I actually like to use this list to make sure I didn't miss anyone big. So I like to cross-reference.
Just go onto Pro Football Reference and search.
I obviously use other methods, but I'm very paranoid. Look, my first year, I left off a player that I just completely brain farted on.
Who was it?
Not going to name the player.
Name the player.
Tre'Davious White. I just like completely forgot about him and people got really mad at me. So ever since then, like I'm just super paranoid and check like a million different websites.
Did you double down and say that he played one bad game and that's why you didn't have one?
I mean, I don't remember what I said, but probably.
Well, convenient that you mentioned it. I was going to say that Tre'Davious White was the biggest snub on this year's list, but the criteria as expressly stated in your article is that as of May 21st, 2020, if they are 25 years old or more older, they do not qualify for the list. Tre'Davious White, 24 last year during the season, but turned 25 at some point. So he doesn't count, right?
Yes. And he actually, so he was the guy who actually put on the list. And then when I went back and fact checked it, I was like, oh, he's actually 25. Mm-hmm. I had him in like the top seven. So he would have been ranked that high. Because I was looking forward to righting my wrong, and then I couldn't. So
he was like 52 on Prisco's list. That was a bad. He's higher than that, I think.
Yeah, and Prisco wrote that he had like a bad 2018 season. He was fine in 2000. Yeah. He had his best year this past year, but he was good in 2018. I thought.
What does 2018 have to do with anything?
Well, that's what he wrote in his top 100. He said he had a bad 2018 season or something like that.
And he didn't, by the way. Pete's methodology sucks. Like he doesn't know what he's doing. He's I can't put Big Ben on there. He missed the whole season. It's like, you have AJ Green at 63.
he did?
AJ Green at 63? Like, what are
he
we?
He clearly has an individual methodology for each slot on the list. So 100 different methodologies.
I do have to say, when I go to sleep after filing this article every year, I'm dreading waking up because usually there's just people yelling about their favorite player in the mentions. So it was a pretty good sign that I woke up and people were still yelling at Pete instead of me.
Yeah, I mean, Pete, look, that list is top 100 is hard to do. The AJ Green is 63 though. Like just don't put AJ Green on the list. Nobody's going to complain. He didn't play last year.
I would have complained.
Okay. I mean, there were like five Bengals on the list. Were you really going to complain about AJ Green?
Did Pete back down or reconsider any counter arguments to who did and who did not make the list?
No. In fact, he is still getting in a fight on Twitter with Cameron Hayward.
No, I know about the Minkah Fitzpatrick thing, but I don't know if there are other players where he's like, yeah, too high, too low. Should have had him on there.
Well,
at least he ranked Russell Wilson, what, third?
Yes.
That was a good thing.
That's the first time Russell Wilson has been inside the top 25 on Pete's list. So I guess you're kind of correcting a mistake. I don't know if you guys saw it on HQ, but I was like, Pete, I printed out your article and held up a roll of toilet paper.
Didn't Jimmy make that joke? Didn't he steal it?
Jimmy Eisenberg. Yeah. I told him before. I was like, I'm going to bring a roll of toilet paper on the show.
I was disappointed that Pete didn't have any kickers on the list. No. I need to get that off my chest.
Well, there's one of you.
Okay. Sean, so any other criteria for the list?
And neither did Sean.
Is there a good kicker under the age of 25?
Well, I'm not going to tell you because you didn't do any research.
By the way, yeah. you know that Prisco had the same number of running backs as wide receivers on the top 100 list? It's like, what do you do? Like, all you do is
compare. But I'm fine with that if you expressly say positional value doesn't matter. You're just ranking best players. Because I actually had six running backs, so the running backs were the most popular position group. But I also left off running backs who, like, breaches. Going to say Joe Mixon was his biggest snub, but I just felt like I had too many running backs already. So the criteria, there's only two things that eliminates you is if you're 25 years or older and also experience. So I did not count rookies simply because you just have no way to know how good they're actually going to be in the NFL. So Joe Burrow, Chase Young, not eligible for the list. They'll be eligible a year from now. It's based on three things. What have they done so far? Future projection and positional value. So that's why Christian McCaffrey, I think if you weren't doing positional value, would probably rank in the top five, maybe even the top four. But because he plays running back, I bumped him down to eight. And you'll see some running backs ranked near the 20s, and they're clearly very good players. It's not their fault. It's just for as good as Saquon Barkley has been, they've won, like, what, 11 games since he's been there. So there's not much he can really do to impact the team.
Okay. Well, let's get to the list then, shall we? Let's see. 14 of 25 offensive players, four quarterbacks, six running backs. 19 of 25 were in Prisco's top 100, which means six guys outside of his top 100. That's kind of interesting. Three players from the Saints, the most of any team. That draft that they had continues to, was it the 2017 draft?
17.
Yeah, just, yeah. Man, the 2017 draft was awesome. Like, I mean, if you had, you know, if you knew what you were doing, you came out of there with a franchise altering player or players, unless you're the Bears. So the AFC outnumbered the NFC 14 to 11, and 13 players returned from last year. The carryover, Sean, did most of them just age out, like Tre'Davious White, et cetera?
Seven of the 12 aged out, but out of those seven, Jared Goff and Baker Mayfield, if they had been under 25, I would have left them off the list.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And so the five players who missed the list due to performance or injury reasons, not age-related, were Bradley Chubb. He played in four games, only had one sack. He was ranked 10th, I believe, a year ago. Leighton Vander Esch, which was a combination of injury and worse play. Roquan Smith, who took a slight step back last year, and he barely made the list a year ago. Juju Smith-Schuster, who was one of my toughest people to leave off because I don't really think the 2019 season was that much of his fault, but he was not good in 2019. And then Miles Jack, who took a step back in 2019 as well.
Indeed. The guys who are on the list but no longer eligible, you mentioned Mayfield and Goff. Also, Danielle Hunter, Chris Jones, Jalen Ramsey, TJ Watt, and Tre'Davious White. All right, let's get to the snubs. Wilson, who do you think Sean screwed up on here?
Juju Smith-Schuster. He actually explained why, pretty much. It's hard to take much out of a season when you're a wide receiver and your quarterbacks are named Mason and Duck. I think he'll have a good season next year, in 2020. We'll assume we'll get back to football, fingers crossed. We know that Big Ben is slim, shaven, and he can throw a football now overhand. So those are all great signs. But, I thought Sean did a good job of this list, but if you're, you know, going to be nitpicky, I'll mention Juju Smith-Schuster.
Yeah, again, that was one of the hardest ones. I was going back and forth between him and Marcus Williams once I figured out Tre'Davious White was actually 25 years old and I could fit one more player. Part of the reason as well is that it wasn't just the quarterbacks, but if you do look at Juju's two good seasons, his first 2 years, he did have the benefit of playing alongside Antonio Brown, so we haven't seen him do it alone yet. And again, I'm not blaming the 2019 season on him, but when you look at some of the other receivers on this list, like Cortland Sutton, it's not like he was playing with great receivers and he still managed to put up good numbers. So that's why I docked Juju.
Okay. Breach, what do you think?
What snubs do I have? I have Joe Mixon. I know Sean kind of tried to explain himself by saying that, he didn't want to have a lot of running backs because Sean hates running backs. And I get that. Sean, I get that. But I think Mixon's been good enough that he should be a top 25 under 25. He led the AFC in rushing in 2018, top 15 in total yards last year, top 10 in rushing yards last year. I thought he has been good enough to warrant that. And I know that part of Sean's logic here, and he mentioned Saquon Barkley specifically when he said this, was that, you know, this running back doesn't necessarily help the team win. You look at a guy like Saquon, who is obviously talented, but the Giants have only won 9 wins in a season. but I don't know that you're using that logic with every player because you have Joey Bosa pretty high on this list, and the Chargers only won 5 games last year, so I don't know that it made a difference whether or not he was on the team. So, Mixon, and my backup was Harrison Butker.
Butt kicker!
I didn't realize he was under 25. That makes sense, though. To address the Joey Bosa thing, I think the argument for Joey Bosa is that when healthy, he is one of the best pass rushers, one of the best players at his position group. And I don't think you can make an argument that Joe Mixon is a top five running back. I would say when we were talking about the extension stuff, none of us were
I sort of checked out there for a second. Sorry, long story short. I'm not going to explain why, but did you just say that Joe Mixon should be in over Joey Bosa?
I didn't say that.
Did Breed say that?
Brenton, no one said that.
No, he was just, he was making.
Is it a Joe thing?
No. But I'm trying to, because Joey Bosa, he was saying,
Mama,
is really good, but he did not, he was not able to impact the Chargers' win total. They only won 5 games.
Oh, that's the Joe Mixon argument. Okay, cool. Yeah. All right, good.
And I pointed this out with a lot of running backs. Well, like, Saquon's great.
Wait. Sean started the podcast by saying that Saquon wasn't up higher because the Giants don't win with him. He's only won 9 games in 2 years, no matter how talented he is. And I said, well, that logic could be applied to Joey Bosa because the Chargers only won 5 games and he's really high up on the list, but I won't spoil where.
So my Joey Bosa thing is that he is one of the best pass rushers when healthy, one of the best players at his position group. I don't know if you can say that about Joe Mixon. I think he's a very good running back. But for instance, when we were talking about a couple weeks ago, the Bengals giving him an extension, we were never even fathoming the chance that they would give him a Christian McCaffrey type of extension, where I think all the running backs I did include, there is going to be arguments, I think, that you can make that they deserve those types of extensions. I don't think teams should do it, but I think that's going to be the argument put forth. And I don't think you can do that with Joe Mixon.
What about Harrison Butker, Sean? Led the NFL and made field goals last year, 34-38.
I'm not going to address why I did not put a kicker in my 525.
I mean, like, I don't really, so if I'm picking a running back and I'm going through and I'm decided, like, if I'm starting a team and I get to select the best young running back I have, independent of contract or whatever, I think Zeke Elliott or Christian McCaffrey would be one in terms of guys I'm picking. So I think that's a good call there. Zeke Elliott, your next one? Not to spoil it, but.
Yeah, Zeke, and then I have Saquon ranked one spot or two spots
below. Yeah, I mean, like, I just think the only guy that I would have a discussion about taking Joe Mixon over might be Dalvin Cook. I prefer Dalvin Cook, but I do think the health thing is a bit of an issue. Dalvin Cook checks in at 24. I mean, I guess a little surprised he's on there, but he had a great year. I do think Joe Mixon's season in 2019 is sort of flying under people's radars, though. I mean, he was.
And to be honest, Breach, like, I'm not saying this to troll you, but, like, I really do think, like, to do this list, you are leaving off 15 players who you can argue should be on that list, and Mixon is definitely one of those players. But playing for the Bengals, I really do think, whether intentional or not, just because I didn't care much about the Bengals last year, was not watching as many of their games as other teams, that probably was an effect on it, whether I was meaning to or not.
So you hate the Bengals, Sean? I get it.
I mean, anybody who, like, I watched like 2 or 3 Bengals games, I think I had like bets on them or something like that. And it's like, it was awful.
Actually. Yeah, and he is running behind a bad offensive line. So, like, again, like, I can understand that's part of the problem is when you come at me with snubs, it's not like, oh, you're crazy. I think you have a completely wrong opinion. It's like, yes, I thought a lot about putting him near the back end of the list. And at the end, I just decided other players were slightly better or just had.
I mean, he only had a single game with either more than 20 touches or more than 100 yards rushing before December. Like, he just wasn't that impactful until the very end of the season. Like, a lot of people were.
You just admitted not watching games, and Sean did too. And I'll echo something Breach said during the year. They're actually, the Bengals were pretty exciting to play because they were terrible, but they were always in it, typically in it until the end. I watched a fair share of Bengals games too, just because I was watching AFC North. And I don't think, at least just off memory, I don't think it was a case that he just showed up the last month of the season. Is that right, Bree?
I mean, I just gave you the stats. Like, he didn't have a game with more than 100. He had one game with more than 100 yards until the last month.
Did you see the offense?
Ryan Finley was his quarterback.
Brandon. Okay, no. But no, again, as I said, yes, Mixon gets hurt because he plays for a bad team behind a bad offensive line in a team that couldn't throw the ball very well. But when you're trying to fit 25 players under 25,
yeah, no, I get
it's
that.
Almost at the point where it's like, yes, if you have a bad season, but it's not your fault, it doesn't matter. You're still getting dinged. Like, again, yeah. I think Bradley Chubb is probably one of the 25 best players on the age of 25, but you can't put him on the list when he played in four games in the most recent.
I was pushing it back against the idea that the Bengals were
in the final number I would put against Joe Mixon is when you look at every single running back on this list, if you look at the efficiency, they're all above 5 yards per touch. Joe Mixon by far has the lowest efficiency out of all these running backs.
He averaged 0.2 yards per carry in week 7. 0.2.
Who they play?
They played the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are actually one of the worst rush defenses in football.
I can't.
He also had 136 yards against the Patriots, who I think we all agree was one of the best defenses in football.
That's what it's called Dick Vitale's music right there.
Boom.
He averaged 3.02 yards for the first 7 weeks of the season until they finally yanked Andy Dalton out of there.
Brinson, you're pulling out Christian McCaffrey had 1.41 yards per carry against the Buccaneers.
Yeah, I don't like using the one
you
game argument.
Individual games. That's insane.
I'm with Breach on that. I'm not looking.
Oh, you mean the best rush defense in football? Best rush defense in football? The Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
1.41.
Joe Mixon had 27 rushing yards in the first 2 weeks of the season.
Can I ask Breach this? I'm just genuinely curious. Who would you take off the list for a Mixon?
Marcus Williams.
Okay. I mean, that's fine. Like, there was a lot of people.
Who is at number 25? Because the answer is them.
You just said Dalvin Cook.
I'm going to say that my snub is Josh Allen.
Of the Jaguars.
No, right? Of the Bills.
Wait, actually?
Yes. Or I two Josh Allens. I think you snubbed both Josh Allens.
Yeah. No, Josh Allen was the player that hurt the most. Not of the Bills. Josh Allen, the pass rusher of the Jaguars. Because if he had gotten a full workload of snaps like other guys, I think he would have been on this list. He was remarkably efficient. The argument against it is just that he didn't have enough reps.
Josh Allen of the Bills led the league with fourth quarter comebacks, four of them, and game-winning drives, five. I think there's a chance that he takes a leap forward this year and makes you look like a fool for not including him.
That's fine. If he ascends in this upcoming season, I will put him on the list. But I'm not putting
at
a quarterback.
At number 23.
and can I just say that it's an even bigger snub because Sean's May 21st deadline to turn 25. That is Josh Allen's birthday. Bill's quarterback, Josh Allen. But anyway, he turns 24. Sean's going to he's purposely going to do this on May 22nd next year so Josh Allen's already 25 and he doesn't have to worry about
snubbing. Oh, you're right, Breach. He is going to do that.
We're on to you, Sean.
I have zero control over the budget, but we just found the two biggest conspiracy theorists on this podcast, I guess.
Yeah.
Is Breach the biggest one?
Both of you guys were thinking that. I'm trying to snub Josh Allen. You know who's going to snub Josh Allen? Josh Allen's right arm.
Mm. Oof. You had to eat those words last year, Sean. You'll probably eat them again.
Stop it. Brinson, is this a troll or do you actually think Bills quarterback Josh Allen is one of the 25 best players under the age of 25?
No, you had to backtrack last year on Twitter and admit that Josh Allen wasn't a running back. Wasn't that you?
I don't actually think I ever retracted anything. I thought Josh Allen improved moderately in last season, but I think in order for him to like be a quarterback, you want to give a second contract. He needs to keep doing this over the next 2 years.
He's getting a second contract.
Yeah, he's getting paid by it. They won 10 games last year.
He ain't missed Trubisky.
I mean, Trubisky won 11 games the year before.
No,
Sean, do Bills fans send you hate mail?
Actually, no. No one has actually argued about Josh Allen in my mention. Someone asked how old Tre'Davious White was, and when I said 25.
Because people go to your Twitter feed to send you hate mail, and they read all those tweets about movies and music, and like, oh, my God, this guy is so boring, I can't even bother.
They're like, is this the wrong Sean Wagner McGuff?
If you had Josh Allen here, I don't think anybody would flinch. Would you guys?
Which one?
The Bills quarterback.
No, I think that's right. I understand. I mean, look, I'm not going to.
I mean, I think in like the, I mean, like, I mean, like AJ Brown was freaking incredible last year. And like, no one loves AJ Brown as much as I do. But like, I mean, Josh Allen has, you know, 2 years of being a starting quarterback in the NFL and teams, you know, went to the playoffs. I mean, like they won 10 games. He played pretty well. I think you can make a case that he'd be in over one of those guys.
I think if it was framed as this is a draft of players under 25, then yes, I think you can make an argument.
100% would be it. Yeah.
But I did explicitly outline, that was my first rule. I guess I didn't say it on this podcast, but in the article was it's not a draft because otherwise I would not have included a single running back in it.
Can I just say how much Sean hates Josh Allen from the Bills? See, like Ryan's biggest snub was Juju Smith-Schuster. And Sean has a list of guys who just missed the cut. Juju's on that list. My biggest snub was Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon is on that list. This list is 18 players long, which means Sean considered 43 players, and Josh Allen did not even make that list.
I mean, yeah, you don't even have this one in
your top 44.
Wait. For the record, though, Josh Allen is not the biggest snub for just missed the cut section. The biggest snub is Michael Gallup of the Cowboys, who I didn't
know. Oh, that's a good one.
And to be honest, I actually meant to put him on just missed the cut. I didn't put him in the top 25, and I'm fine with that. And then last night I was again looking at the numbers and I'd already filed it and it was already ready to go. So I didn't add him in. That would probably be if I could go back and have a do-over, I'd put him in just missed the cut or maybe even put him at 25, maybe over Marcus Williams.
I mean, like, okay.
Hates the Cowboys and the Bills.
Do you think Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield or Jared Goff, who would be the highest one there?
Josh Allen or Jared Goff?
And Baker.
Or Baker Mayfield.
Baker.
It's close. I mean, you're basically throwing darts blindfolded.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it's just – I just.
I mean, Josh Allen hasn't had that regression season like Baker had last year.
He hasn't had the pressure either of playing in Cleveland or playing
– Buffalo? Bills fans are insane.
They love Josh Allen, though. And
Ryan, I saw a video of a baby being slammed through a table.
I mean, Baker has some fans in Cleveland until last year when he stunk. If Josh Allen has a bad year, they'll turn on him.
The pressure to win in Cleveland is actually greater than the pressure to win in Buffalo, I feel. And Jared Goff.
And one of them, you guys love to talk about Sean McDermott, and like one of them has McDermott, one of them had.
Your choice for coach of the year, Freddie Kitchens.
Yeah. And this is the same guy who hates Sean McDermott, by the way.
I know.
Wait a minute. No, I have addressed the Sean McDermott thing, and I said I think he's a good coach now. I've said that.
But you still.
I'm doing it right now. I was wrong about Sean McDermott. He made one horrible, inexplicable quarterback decision early on. I think what he's done ever since then is tremendous. I would put him as a top 10 coach in football.
This is a guy who apologized for getting caught cheating on his girlfriend when his girlfriend catches him cheating on her. Whoa. Sorry, I didn't mean to do that. What I meant to say was.
Did you just drop a nuke on Sean?
No, speaking in generalities. I'm not.
Oh, we got TMZ Ryan over here. Who's the conspiracy theorist? My God.
Sean just kicked Freddie Outhouse.
Your lady's parents are listening to this podcast.
I know.
Sean, let me ask you this. Baker Mayfield just turned 25 like 3 weeks ago. If he had not turned 25 3 weeks ago, he was still 24, would he have made your list?
No. I actually wrote that in the article, that Goff and Mayfield, even if they had been under 25, I would have.
You've actually said that like 10 minutes ago on here.
Yeah, I did.
All right, let's get to the top 25 to dive into it a little bit. These are 25 through 11, and we'll discuss. Marcus Williams, 25. Dalvin Cook, 24. A.J. Brown, 23. Cortland Sutton, 22. Fun little comparison there. Kenny Clark, 21. Nick Chubb, 20. Kyler Murray, 19. By the way, he didn't make Pisker's top 100 either. In fact, none of those guys did that I just listed. Alvin Kamara, 18. He's number 40 in Pisker's list. Saquon Barkley, 17, 35 in Pisker's list. Marshawn Lattimore, 16. Didn't make Pisker. Really?
That was a weird one to me, by the way, Pisker's list. I was scanning. I was like, he wasn't even in just missed, like, snubs.
Man, I've whiffed on that. Zeke Elliott, 17 on Pisker's list. 15 for you. Marlon Humphrey, Nick Bosa, 13. Jamal Adams, 12. Derwin James, 11. Ryan Wilson, who on that list of names I just read out is too high on Sean's list?
Antonio Jaquarius Brown. I don't know if that's A.J. Brown's real name. I just wanted to make up a name for him. A.J. Brown. I love A.J. Brown.
Antonio Ramiro Romo.
Yeah, that's a great name. I don't love A.J.
Arthur Juan Brown.
That's a great name. Arthur Juan Brown. A.J.B. I like him a lot. But I just do wonder, and Sean pointed this out, that it's one thing, like Juju was second fiddle to Antonio Brown 2 and 3 years ago. Actually, A.J. Brown led the Titans in receptions. In fact, had more catches than Corey Davis and Adam Humphries. He was the only player on that team with 1,000 yards. No other player on that team had more than 4 touchdowns. He had 8. So he balled out. But I do wonder, and while, look, that offense got better with Ryan Tannehill, and you could argue a lot better, especially in the passing game, I do wonder if scary Terry McLaurin would have made sense there at the bottom of the list, because while his stats weren't quite as impressive, he did a crap ton more with a crap ton less around him. 58 receptions, 919 yards, which is 15.8 yards per catch, and 7 touchdowns, which is mind-blowing in an offense that featured Dwayne Haskins. And who was – I didn't know who the starter – Colt McCoy, was he the starter at the beginning of the year? Who was it?
Case Keenum.
Case Keenum, sorry. So I'm look again. I love AJ Brown. I'd have no real issue with this, but if you're going to press me on it, maybe Terry Mack, good there at the bottom of the list.
Yeah, he was in the just missed section. Definitely considered it. He definitely, as Ryan pointed out, to his credit, played in a far worse situation. But if you do look at the overall numbers, AJ Brown does have a beat in pretty much every single category, even yards per catch.
I also think and I would say that yards per catch, it's over 20, which is just not sustainable. Like that would be my only concern is that AJ Brown, and we've talked about sort of, you know, if the running game is less efficient and Ryan Tannehill takes a step back, like that probably has a negative effect on AJ Brown. Like I wouldn't be surprised at all if he had a 750 yard season or something like that this year.
I kind of think his efficiency is going to plummet, and I noticed.
His raw numbers might spike.
I think his overall, he only had 52 catches last year.
Yeah.
I think that could go up. So I think his yards could stay around 1,000. And the touchdowns is also what could regress because he had 8 touchdowns on 52 catches. So that's an incredibly high touchdown rate.
Dude, he's a force in nature though. Like, I think he would be, I think including him was a smart play. Like it almost felt like he could have won Rookie of the Year. I think he should have gotten more consideration for it than he did. And like, as the Titans were making this run, yeah, it was Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill, but it was like AJ Brown was just like, would just take over games. I mean, every week he had some like just crazy long score where he torched people. I'm trying to think I wish they had long on here. Like, so from, he had that big break. He had a big game in week one where he caught 3 balls for 100 yards. But then the stretch from week 11 until week 16, he didn't play in week 17. He averaged 4 catches at 100 yards a game with 5 touchdowns. Like he was averaging 24 yards per catch. That is a quarter of the field every time he caught the ball.
Pretty good.
Okay. Breach, who do you think is too high on this list?
My too high guy is Derwin James. Sean has him at 11th, and I guess my issue is it feels like Sean went to the Pete Prisco school of inventing qualifications for each ranking instead of having a general one that applies to almost everybody. Sean, you mentioned earlier that a big reason you didn't have Bradley Chubb on this list. Chubb was on the list last year, but not this year because you didn't feel like we saw a lot from him. He only played in 4 games. Not enough to kind of crack this list. Well, Derwin James only played in 5 games this year, had fantastic rookie season. That's fine. But I just didn't feel like he did enough to be ranked at 11. I would have put him on this list because he was so good as rookie year, but I don't think you can put a guy who only played 5 games that close to the top 10.
So I guess I would say the difference between Derwin James and Bradley Chubb is that I thought James's rookie season was better than Bradley Chubb's rookie season. And I thought that Derwin James's 5-game sample, while incredibly small, was more impressive than what Bradley Chubb showed in his limited 4-game sample. And what ended up being difficult for me is why Derwin James is ranked this high is I just felt like with Jamal Adams lurking at 12 right there, I didn't want to rank Jamal Adams above Derwin James because I think Derwin James is a better player than Jamal Adams, even if he had the injury.
Derwin James is ranked 12 last year, played 5 games, and moved up to 11.
But that's not necessarily means Derwin James played better. That's just a result of players ahead of him on the list no longer being eligible. Like, go look at the top 10. There's, like, Chris Jones in there.
I mean, this list isn't entirely, like, designed to just be, hey, who are the best players under 25 in 2019? Like, it's supposed to be predictive as well. Like, Derwin,
yes, it's a mix.
Like, Derwin's rookie season was friggin' incredible. And, like, that's who he is. So if he doesn't get hurt, I mean, he's going to come back and do something like that this year with a defense that's absolutely loaded. I mean, so
And I understand that. But he's still an unknown quantity, though, because he's been off for almost a year. You know how good he was in 2018, but you don't know that he's going to recover from this injury and be as good as he was then, even at the beginning of last season. So I do understand the future looking, Brinson, and he could be awesome because he could be as good as he was in 2018, but there is the equal side of that he might not be because he's coming off a substantial injury.
He already came back, and he was really good in those 5 games in December.
Yeah, he didn't have, like, crazy numbers when he came back like he did last year. Like, it's not a quarter of his 2018 season. But this is a guy who gets sacks, he gets interceptions, you know, he breaks up a ton of passes. You can blitz him, he can play in the box and stuff to run. Like, I think even, like, if I almost think 11 you could almost say is too low.
I'm glad you said that because I actually
or too
had
high.
Him in the top 10. I had him in the top 10 before my final run through because I was going to have the Saints and Chargers as the only, or sorry, the Colts and Chargers as the only two teams with two players in the top 10. And then after a final review, to Breach's point, I moved Minka Fitzpatrick at 10, spoiler alert, above Derwin James because I felt like
I would take
Minka for doing it.
Yeah, Minka was awesome last year, but I would take Derwin over Minka in a heartbeat. And I've said that since before the
wrong
draft.
Answer.
I mean, so you're just a homer. I mean, that's just
but
all
I actually he said it, so I think it's
wrong.
Close.
Wrong.
Exactly, that's what it reminded me of too.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, Minka was awesome, but I that's just my personal preference. I like Derwin better coming out of college.
Wait a second. Derwin was number 49 in Prisco's top 100, and he played five games last year. Is that better or worse than the AJ Green? I think Derwin's better.
But again, like, that's the problem with Pete's list is, like, you can't figure out what the criteria are. Like, I've got a pretty firm idea of what Sean's trying to do here. Yeah. And, like, the person, like, Prisco's, like, just slapping dudes in, like, half of this time.
No Marshawn Lattimore. No Minka Fitzpatrick.
The Lattimore thing, not even in just miss. I was, like, I had to go back and I was, like, was Lattimore, like, terrible? Did I miss this? Because I watched a lot of Saints games, right? Because they're really good. And Lattimore has not been as good as he's been his rookie season. But he's been very good the last 2 years still.
By the way, Prisco's on Twitter getting body bagged by Steelers Depot. Just texted him and told him you got body bagged by on a tape talk by a blogger. How's it feel? Big boy. I can't really repeat it. My too high, I went with Jamal Adams and friend of the program. So I feel bad doing that to him. Like Jamal Adams.
Remember that time in the Super Bowl, Breach tried to steal the Jamal Adams hat that Jamal Adams gave me to give my 13-year-old son because Breach wanted a bunch of hats to keep and wear.
It was weird.
I was going to give it to my baby. God, a shrine, you're taking presents away from a baby.
Yeah, who doesn't, what baby doesn't want a giant?
Brian was trying to give it to his princess.
No, that hat was made out of, leather, cause it was like a Wilson
NFL leather.
It was like a 40-pound hat. What baby doesn't want a 40-pound leather flat brim hat? I mean,
when's the last time you were around a baby? Babies love heavy hats.
Is that baby's last name Wilson?
It had a metal football on it with like sharp like edges and like it could easily like if a baby got a hold of it, the baby would either crack their head open or like cut a finger.
But let me ask you this, Wilson: who did end up getting the hat?
You caved finally.
Thank you. Only because it had your last name on it, even though it wasn't supposed to.
I appreciate it.
Hey, so Breach, did you let your baby play with any knives before you came down to do the podcast? Or like just some light, a couple matches, anything like that? Small plastic objects?
Brinson, the baby's an expert at throwing knives.
That's creepy and believable somehow.
Kind of cool.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome actually. But yeah, I mean, like, I think Adams is a great player.
Sean's like, did you name the baby Aria?
A terrible Sean impression too.
Yeah, that's weird.
He can throw knives and he's really impressive.
Why is Sean talking like me? Mainly I think though, because of Nick Bosa is below him and like, there's just no chance that I would take Jamal Adams over Nick Bosa or really, maybe Derwin James either.
If this was a draft, I would agree with you. The reason I put Adams over Bosa is because it is a mix of past and future. And it's not Bosa's fault because he's only been in the league for 1 year, but Adams, what he has accomplished over the last 3 years, supersedes what Bosa did this past season.
See, I don't like that. That's
a good defense.
Lifetime.
Well, you don't like my criteria. Like, I feel like we've had this discussion on the podcast last year where you approach it more as like, this is a draft. And that's probably why you think Kyler's too low on the list.
Yeah.
Because if this was a draft, Kyler would be in the top 10.
Yeah. I think I just prefer, the construct of like, take the better player. Like in the moment, right now, I would rather have Nick Bosa. And yeah, Kyler, I would rather have, I mean, obviously I would take Kyler over Jamal Adams as well. But I mean, look, Jamal Adams had an awesome season last year and he was very good. 6.5 sacks for his safety.
As I wrote in the article, there's only been two instances since 2006 of a safety having 20 plus quarterback pressures and both belong to Jamal Adams, according to Pro Football Focus.
Wow. That's pretty good. 10 tackles for loss, 13 quarterback hits. 7 passes defensed, 1. Oh my God. Who were they playing when was it Carson Wentz? He stole somebody's soul. Like he went in and just, I mean, was it Duck Hodges?
I mean, Duck Hodges isn't exactly dunking on somebody.
Who was it? Who are they playing?
They beat the Steelers. It could have been.
Maybe it was the Steelers.
Some beautiful snags by 86. 5 receptions today. That's a season high for the rookie. As Jones has it taken away by Jamal Adams. And he is in for a catch. Touchdown. He stripped the ball from Daniel Jones. And
go watch that clip. I mean, he took Daniel Jones's lunch money. Like he walks into the pocket and just like takes the ball away from Daniel Jones and it just takes off for the end zone. Like it's not like he like knocked the ball. He like grabbed the ball from another adult man. All right. You know what?
I will say though, I feel like most of us could probably take the ball from Daniel Jones at the rate he fumbles.
Did Daniel Jones get any consideration?
No, not at all.
Hey, you don't like Daniel Jones.
I don't know enough about Daniel Jones.
What do you think about
we have some staunch defenders of Daniel Jones.
If Carson, I was going to sneak it before Debo left. I was going to thrash Carson Wentz, but he's gone now. So we can talk as long as we want, guys. No one can stop us from talking now. Just kidding. Let's move along.
Daniel Jones flashed some good last year, so I think he's just a big unknown.
Yeah. Too low on this list, Breach.
Too low. I had Zeke. I would have just switched Zeke with Derwin James and boom, I would have been happy with the list. Zeke was at 15, move him up to 11, put Derwin at 15, and that's it. Sean, can you do that? Can you go in and edit it right now?
No. I felt weird putting Zeke that far above Kamara and Saquon. And I felt like if I was moving Zeke up that high, then I would have had to move the other running backs higher to position them closer because I don't know if the gap is that big between all three of them.
Well, I feel like if you take Zeke out of the Cowboys offense, it would hurt them a lot more than if you took, say, Kamara out of the Saints offense.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I think Pollard could be fine in that offense. I mean, we won't know, but until it happens, but.
I'm fine with where Zeke is, but I mean, Zeke is a stud. Like when he's on the field, like, I mean, he's so consistent and there's nothing to not like about Zeke.
But I do think it would have been like Brenton, you would have had a really tough time if I had Zeke ranked above like Bosa and Derwin James and Jamal Adams, right?
I mean, yeah.
I felt like where I could get away with putting him above position players was like Marshawn Lattimore and whoever else I have down there, like Kenny Clark, those guys, I felt like I could justify having a running back over.
The real disgrace here is that Kyler Murray's 19. Isn't that right, Wilson?
Yeah, no, you and I agree on that. And I think just because we disagree with Sean's methodology, I mean, you go through this list, there are a lot of guys ahead of Kyler Murray that I would take Kyler Murray before I would take them. But, I mean, I understand what you're doing, but it's just the most important position, quarterback. I thought he played really well last year on a 5-win team. That was probably a 1-win team.
I'm a little surprised. Like, I know, like, John Ledyard, a friend of the program, friend of the show, he did some draft stuff. Now he covers the Buccaneers, but he was like, what's that?
Peter Report.
He was like asking, he's like, tweet me your team and I'll tell you how many above average players are on it. And somebody was like, Cardinals. And he didn't list Kyler Murray.
He's a strict grader.
Kyler Murray's an above average quarterback.
I would say that if I had to guess which two players will have the biggest bump in this list from this year to next year, it would be the two people maybe you pointed out, with Kyler Murray and Bosa. I think next year will be in the top 10 if I had to guess. But look, I love Kyler Murray, and I think if we were doing this as a draft, you could even make an argument he would be the fourth pick behind Deshaun Watson.
He just would be the fourth pick.
Right.
He might be the third pick.
Right. But when you start to look at, and I love him and I love watching him play, but when you start to look at the advanced numbers, like the best statistic in his favor has him ranked 15th. And it felt weird to put the 15th best player at his position group, for example, in the top 10 of a list that is not trying to just be about positional value. Cause again, if I was doing that, I would not have 6 running backs on this list.
Okay.
But I'm fine with it. If you want to argue that he should be above the cluster of running backs, like above Zeke at like 14, like if I saw that list, I wouldn't yell about it.
I mean, I agree with the point that like Zeke is a better.
I would have a real problem with him at the top 10.
Zeke is a better running back than Kyler Murray as a quarterback. I'll give you that. Like, in terms of where
you're. That's part of the criteria that I'm trying to do. Okay. That's like why, again, like Joe Mixon, I felt like wasn't on that list because I don't think you can make an argument he's even like a top six running back.
All right. Just right. Wilson, I agree with Derwin James. Breach likes Nick Bosa. So we're kind of all over the place on here. Like, I think Nick Bosa is too low. Here's the top 10. 10, Minkah Fitzpatrick. 9, Chris Godwin. 8, Christian McCaffrey. Number 5 on Prisco's top 100, by the way, for a running back. Darius Leonard. Number 7, 99 on Prisco's top 100.
That was another one that I did not understand and made me go back and like relook at his numbers and be like, what did I miss here?
Right. He had a worse year than his like all pro rookie season. I mean. Number 6, Myles Garrett, 47th on Prisco's list. 5, Joey Bosa was number 2 last year, number 13 on Prisco's list, top 100. Quentin Nelson, 4, 15 on Prisco's list, and then the quarterbacks. Deshaun Watson, 3rd, 62nd on Pete Prisco's list, and it drew a LOL facepalm from Deshaun Watson on Instagram on the CBS Sports account, which Pete Prisco will be reminded of frequently. Lamar Jackson, number 2, number 7 on Pete's list this year, which... Sure, I guess that's where you could put the MVP when you're talking about the top 100 players. And Patrick Mahomes, number 1 across the board. Number 1 last year.
Didn't the first 10 picks be quarterbacks, basically? Any top 100 list?
No, Pete tries to do the positional thing too, which...
We don't, yeah. Well, do we know his methodology?
He does, he's not position, it's not, he doesn't use position, like...
And that's why I think for these lists, you can't have positional value be the number one thing, because then you just wouldn't have running backs.
Well, I mean, Josh Allen
not
would just,
fun.
Yeah, Josh Allen would be like 10th on this list.
Right.
Andy Dalton.
He's in my top 100.
He would be in the top 100 if you were doing positional value.
Mm. Okay. Fair enough.
All right, who's too high on this list, Wilson?
Oh, I said Darius Leonard. And... I love Darius Leonard. I loved his rookie season a little better than season 2, as per Pete Prisco. But just the guys behind him, like I would put Run CMC ahead of him. You could talk me into Chris Godwin, Minkah, of course, because I'm a huge Minkah guy. Derwin James, Nick Bosa. I know we talked about why Nick Bosa wasn't there. So I just thought maybe if he weren't – he's what the
– Oh, wait, he got hurt last year.
Yeah. He's the
– He still played in like 14 games.
He had 13 games total. And his numbers were, his interceptions were up, his passes defense and forced fumbles were down, his tackles were down, his sacks were down, his tackles for loss were down, his quarterback hits were down, but like they're all down like basically incremental relative to how many games he played this year versus the previous year.
Yeah,
and the improvement in interceptions really did help vault him up.
Yeah, I like him. There's nothing on this list that stands out to me that makes me angry. But if you're asking me, I'm going to go with Darius Leonard.
So just, yeah, I know you're not saying that, but I think the reason why, for example, he's above Minkah is because I think Leonard's had a better Minkah might have had a better 2019 season than Leonard, but I would say the total body of work favors Leonard right now. I think Chris Godwin, you could probably make an argument, could be higher. I'm expecting, to be honest, a little bit of his numbers to come back down just because he's not playing with Jameis anymore, playing with a better quarterback, but a quarterback who's going to be way more cautious, and that team will just be better. So by default, they're not going to have to throw the ball as much late in games. McCaffrey, the only argument against him is why he's at 8 is because of his position he plays. And I could not put him over a player like Darius Leonard, who I think if you were doing the draft criteria, Leonard would go before McCaffrey every single time.
Breach and I agree that Minkah Fitzpatrick's too high.
Wrong.
I knew Wilson would say that.
I mean, this, like, the Minkah thing's out of, like, it's hard to get a full grasp on it. Like, I think he's probably somewhere closer to 15 on this list, but like, I also don't mind him being 10 because Prisco had him. Like, all right, let me ask you this. Did you bump Minkah up as like a subtle dig at Prisco?
No, I actually had most of my list finalized before I even read Prisco's list.
So let me put it this way. So he's the fourth defensive player on Sean's list at number 10. He was legit in the defensive player of the year running until the end of the season. So I don't know how fourth among all defenders is too high.
I mean, I think that he was great.
I would have had Derwin James above him if Derwin James had played a full season or close to a full season.
Yes.
But he did.
I don't mind that. I think Nick Bosa should be ahead of him. Nick Bosa's freaking awesome. He was one of the defensive player of the year last year.
I just made the same argument about Minkah, who literally came in and changed the face of that defense by stepping on the field.
He's so good he got traded.
Nick Bosa didn't do that because he played on a defense that was, yeah, that's a dumb mistake.
The trade thing is the dumb. Yeah, that's me. That's the dumb. That's me.
Nick Bosa played on a defense that was already legit.
He got traded by a tanking team, Britson. They were trying to sell their good players for picks.
Don't take the bait. Just move on.
If the team drafted him, like the same GM drafted him like 9 months before and they just traded him.
The team made a lot of terrible decisions. You will admit that the 18th overall pick for Minka is a steal.
Yeah, and
it ends up being a good.
I'll give Ryan credit because he was defending the trade from day one. And granted, it's probably because he's a Steelers fan, but I think me and Brenton, I can't remember how Breach felt. I didn't think it was a smart trade because I looked at that quarterback situation. I was like, This team's going to get a top five pick, and he did transfer that team to the point where I think what they traded away is better than what they could have found in the draft at their position.
100%. He would have been the first defensive player taken. He would have gone up before Jeffrey Okuda.
So I love that trade now. At the time, I didn't love it because I thought they were going to be bad, and they weren't.
Minka, not you're saying Minka right now.
He would have, if he was coming out this year, he wouldn't have gone before Chase Young. He would have gone before Jeffrey Okuda. He would have been the first defensive back taken, I should say, to clarify.
If he was coming out this year?
Yeah.
I don't agree with that.
Well, yeah, okay. Junior
One is a junior draft analyst, and one is a talking head.
What's your favorite thing that Jeffrey Okuda does that Minka Fitzpatrick doesn't do?
I'm not saying that Jeffrey Okuda would have done it, but my point is that he wasn't even the first defensive back taken in his class because another guy from Ohio State, Denzel Ward, who isn't as good as Jeffrey Okuda, was taken ahead of Minka Fitzpatrick. So I think, like I'm saying, if you take Minka Fitzpatrick now and drop him in the draft, maybe that's different. But coming out of – no, you said coming out.
Yeah, if he was coming out this year.
No.
People loved Minka.
Yeah, he the Dolphins took him 11th overall and then traded him.
Who took Denzel Ward?
The Browns.
Okay, thank you.
I mean, Denzel Ward was a consensus top cornerback. It's a close.
Not on my list. It was Minka.
Minka, he's not a cornerback.
Would you take Okuda over Fitzpatrick? Because I kind of feel like that's what the question is.
Well, first of all, Ryan's been saying top defensive player.
He corrected himself right away.
He's been saying defensive player for a few weeks now, just conveniently ignoring Chase Young.
He loves lying.
Go ahead. If you had the second overall pick, would you take Chase Young or Minka Fitzpatrick?
Chase Young, I just corrected myself and said that.
I mean, I don't have a problem. Like, if you're taking Minka now, the issue is you've already lost 2 years of his rookie deal, so you have to pay him a ton of money.
He would be a rookie if he was being drafted.
I don't know what you're talking about. This is worse than the Andy Dalton.
No. If you're saying Minka as a prospect would not have gone before Jeff Okuda.
Okay.
I can't speak to that.
Denzel Ward.
Oh my God. Okay. That's fine. That's what you believe. I'm telling you, I believe otherwise.
Do you think, is Okuda a better prospect than Denzel Ward?
Yes.
Yes.
He's bigger. Denzel's slumped.
Asking. Okay.
If Jeffrey Okuda was a better prospect coming out than Denzel Ward, which he is, then he would have gone before Minka Fitzpatrick. You're dead ass wrong.
So where would you guys rank Minka Fitzpatrick?
I just told you where.
No,
oh,
we're not.
Your list. Yeah.
No, Brinson and Breach because they said he was too high.
Unranked.
He's on the PD Pancakes bandwagon.
I would have him at third. I told you maybe I'd switch him with Zeke instead of Derwin James.
I do sort of agree with the – like, I like Derwin better, but I agree with the construct that, like, Minka actually played. And like put up monster numbers. So I think I would move Nick Bosa up to 10. I might slide Zeke up to.
Why would you move Nick Bosa up? Because again, the fruits of his labor are a function of playing on a dominant defensive line, the best defensive line in football.
To Ryan's point about that, if you took Nick Bosa off the 49ers, they still make the playoffs. And they're still a good team.
If you take Minka Fitzpatrick off the
Steelers, they're one of the five worst teams maybe in football. And
that's not even. I don't think that's an exaggeration.
Oh my God, get out of here!
The Steelers part. I mean, they're not going 8-8 without.
If you take Minka Fitzpatrick off the Steelers, they still miss the playoffs. So there you go. You got it right there.
I said they're not going 8-8. They're 5 or 6 win team.
I mean, Nick Bosa had 16 tackles for loss and 25 quarterback hits, along with 9.
And that's why he's ranked 13th. He's very high on the list.
Brez is just looking to argue.
To his credit, like a lot of this is just nitpicking, and it's not, at least that's why I'm happy. It's not the like Prisco type of how dare you left this person off. It's like this person should be 10th instead of 13th, which is like,
I
can understand if you look at it from a different point of view.
I mean, you asked me where I would slot Minkah Fitzpatrick, and I told you I would slide Nick Bosa and Zeke up and Kyler Murray, and I would slide Minkah back. So I guess I would put him back at 13, 14.
That's where I had him.
Yeah.
Zeke is more valuable to the Cowboys than Minkah is to the Steelers, you think?
It's not more valuable. That's
Zeke is better at his position than Minkah is at his position.
Absolutely. But it is a mix, and positional value does matter, and I agree with that. Zeke is a better running back than Minkah. Actually, I think it's pretty close, to be honest.
I don't know what that
means. Never mind. I'm not going to walk down that line.
It's like the one time you got something right. Congratulations. I applaud you for planting your flag and just like beating this Minkah drum, beating this Minkah horse until it's lying on the ground. It's been dead for a few weeks and Ryan's just clubbing it again over and over and over again.
Screaming, look at me, look at me.
Yep. Too low on this list. Breach and Wilson both agree that Christian McCaffrey at number 8 is too low.
He's an airbag.
I almost felt like it was too high. I mean, again, it doesn't sound like a broken record, but it's positional value. I mean, he had an incredible season that he probably won't ever repeat.
Don't have a lot of guys who are higher on Pete's list than on your list.
I would have C-Mac 5. Because again, my criteria for Sean's criteria is value to team. Is Christian McCaffrey more valuable to the Panthers than Joey Bosa is to the Chargers? And I would argue that yes, he probably is.
They won 5 games.
Chargers.
Yeah, the Chargers.
Hey, wait a minute, but Joey Bosa, they've had success with Joey Bosa before.
Oh! What a big jam! Wallace took it in his hands and said, up and away!
Did they not have success with Christian McCaffrey before? What are you talking about?
I gotta remember the last 3 years of the Panthers.
This is your baby. You should know all this stuff.
Panthers went 7-9 in his second year.
Look, I can just tell you the reason why McCaffrey's, and I said before, if I was not doing positional value, I think I would have ranked him 4th behind Deshaun Watson. But because I do factor in positional value, I think we can all agree, or at least I would say, edge rusher is far more valuable.
Let me ask you this, though. Besides, would you say that Christian McCaffrey is the best running back in the NFL?
Yes.
Yes.
And besides Patrick Mahomes, is there any other player under 25 who is the best player at his position?
Well, technically, Lamar Jackson could have a claim for it if you wanted to.
Only one of those two guys can be the best, so.
Yes, Breach is right.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Breach, I agree with your point that you're making.
And so that is why I would have him higher. If you're the best player at your position and you're on an under 25 list, you should.
Actually, yes. Quentin Nelson.
Yeah.
Is the best guard in football, I would argue. And he's under 25.
That's why I said 5.
Yeah. I think
I think you understand why I have him at 8. It's just because he plays running back. And it's not his fault.
Because you hate running backs.
Yes. All right. What's the last one on this thing?
Just right. That means who landed in the exact right spot. You mentioned Quentin Nelson.
You didn't say, Brinson, who your too low was. I didn't mean to.
I didn't fill it out. I don't think I forgot. I don't care. McCaffrey's too low. I agree.
No, you wrote Derwin.
Yeah, but he's not in the top 10. So that was stupid.
Right. But you, for some reason, you answered that question with Derwin.
Yeah. Just right. We will not be discussing Patrick Mahomes. It's not the time for this, Sean, unfortunately for you. I think Quentin Nelson is just right. Quentin Nelson at 4. I mean, Quentin Nelson is just like a dominant, like Hall of Fame path, solid as a rock. That's a great line from Arrested Development too. It's like solid as a rock because they're building homes in a rock, but the houses aren't solid. Quentin Nelson just showed up and he's an all pro and he's just really good. It's just open box, all pro guard 2 years in a row.
Were whinging about the pick at the time. Like, you don't take a guard that high, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
Phil Rivers will appreciate it. Isn't Quentin Nelson the guy who walked over to the punter and very politely told him to quit kicking punts at his head?
Yeah. Like, Quentin Nelson looks like a dude who will just, like, destroy
you. If you were redrafting the 2018 draft, where would Quentin Nelson go?
That's a fun one.
Baker, Saquon, Darnold, Ward, Chubb, Nelson.
Okay, well, Lamar would go 1.
Obviously, right. Ward would not go there. You would take Quentin. You can move Quentin up at least one spot.
By the way, Ryan, the first angry tweet I got today was no Denzel Ward on my list.
It was really? No Denzel Ward.
That's a weird one. I think that is there anybody down this list, like in this draft, that's like some like, you know, like George Kittle is like a fifth round pick. There's nobody.
By weighted career approximate value, Quentin Nelson is third, only behind Lamar and Darius Leonard in that draft.
Oh, so like if we were redoing it, the Browns would take Lamar Jackson first overall. And then the Giants would take Quentin Nelson, I think, at that point.
Yeah. Like, it's kind of funny that they did it. Like, he's like Dave Gettleman's dream.
Yeah. And I think Gettleman, man, why
put it this way? The Giants could have taken Quentin Nelson at 2 and then taken Nick Chubb at 34.
Instead of Saquon and Will Hernandez.
Right.
Yeah. Like, if you'd gone with, yeah, that's tough, man.
That's brutal. Like, that what if.
Or they could have even gone with Sam Darnold or Baker Mayfield, which I would be perfectly fine. I know that Quentin Nelson has been better than those guys, but I would have no problem with
this. This is weird. Tied for fourth with Saquon Barkley is Minkah Fitzpatrick from the 2018 draft class? Get out of town. Thank you.
Who's ahead of him?
Darius Leonard, Lamar.
Quentin Leonard.
Interesting then, Ryan. So you had Darius Leonard as too high and Minkah too low, and Darius.
Weighted approximate value is not the.
And yet, Darius Leonard. Oh, wait, Darius Leonard was 7. You wanted to flip Darius Leonard to Minkah, but the weighted approximate value just stuffed it in your face.
I didn't want to flip him. But
what a big. Enough of that.
My first dunk on is a fake dunk by this moron.
The ref blew the whistle, and then he went and dunked on the empty hoop. And, then flexed in your face.
You know, that's like the most. So, like, Dennis Smith. The guy who's now got like an FBI investigation going on with NC State. He's like got this like famous like.
Is he a coach?
No, former player. He plays for the Mavs now. Knicks. He plays for the Knicks now. And he, this like insane dunk at Cameron Indoor Stadium. But it was like in a loss and the clock had expired. It's like so.
Flexing?
It was like a crazy dunk. It's like didn't count. It's so annoying.
That's NC State basketball in a nutshell.
Yeah, it's 100% correct. Okay.
Just right for me, Minkah Fitzpatrick. Who's just right for you, Breach?
Just right for me was Patrick Mahomes. I thought Sean nailed that one. Good job, Sean. Jeez.
That was a hard one.
Did you
even Prisco got that one right, so.
I know. Did you consider putting Lamar above Mahomes?
No.
Come on, look who you're talking to.
No, just controlling.
I mean, would anyone consider that? Yes. Lamar's never won a playoff game.
I bet people would consider that.
I mean, if Lamar does what he did this past season again, then maybe you can make an argument for it.
But I think Lamar's got to win at least one playoff game before you could even think about putting him above Mahomes.
Sean's top three is Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson.
I was going to ask you.
5 years from now, which quarterback is the best quarterback?
Mahomes.
I think there's an argument for Deshaun. I'm going to pull a Sean here.
Oh, my God. Ryan does this thing where, like, he locks it on someone who says something a lot and makes fun of it. And then like 3 months later, he decides that he's going to steal that take as his own once he's dunked on it.
No,
a lot
it's
of
like,
times.
It's like you brainwashed him. That's what
like
it is.
Joe Flacco thing.
Yeah.
I was going to ask if you guys felt like Deshaun Watson was too high because I had, again, largely come up with my order before Prisco's list came out and the top three had not moved. And then I saw where Prisco ranked Deshaun and I was like,
he doesn't like Deshaun.
Well, let me put it to you this way. Like, my issue with Lamar Jackson is taking the hits and stuff, and I don't know if that's sustainable over 5 years. I love the way he plays. But so if Deshaun is on Andy Reid's Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes is playing with Billy O'Brinson, what do their careers look like for the next 5 years? That's sort of how I do the
– I think the Andy Reid factor – like, if – like, take all three of those quarterbacks, cycle them through to the Chiefs, and, like, whoever's on the Chiefs is the number one guy.
Yeah.
How does Josh Allen do? And Andy Reid's system.
He's awesome.
Like, I'm not kidding. Like, how many games does that team win?
I think Trubisky's a Pro Bowler on the Chiefs.
He might be a Pro Bowler, but does that team win? That team wins 11 games with Mr. Trubisky and or Josh Allen?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Maybe not Allen. I think Trubisky would be better fit for Andy Reid's system.
How many games do they win with Andy Dalton?
16. Come on.
Double digits.
Yeah, I mean, it's just Andy, like Andy.
10, yeah. Alex Smith.
He's going to parlay Jordan Te'amu into a first-round pick at some point in the next five years.
Oh, they signed Jordan Te'amu?
Yeah. Nice. Okay, friend of the program, Jordan Te'amu, was on this very podcast. That's it for the show. Sean's Top 25, Under 25. Go check it out on CBSSports.com. Talk to you guys later.
May 23rd.
I want to go back to normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil, returns.
We've already hunted werewolves and demons.
And now what? A baby antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not gonna survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd. Only on Paramount Plus.